Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Wednesday, July 8th, 2020. Stephen St. John and Todd Lebo, now joined by Mike Boddicker. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Stephen. What's up?
Last night, I was thinking about you a little bit because whenever I watch classic baseball games, I like to discuss them with you, and so it's perfect timing. Last night, Game 2 of the 1980 ALCS was on between the Royals and the Yankees. And that, of course, was the year the Royals finally got over the hump and swept the Yankees. This game, Game 2, was at then Royal Stadium. Very exciting game. Lebo, did you watch any of that last night?
I didn't watch it, but I'm familiar with my favorite scene in that one where the boss was sitting down in the regular seats down there.
And he gets up and just starts walking away after the double play. He was pissed.
He was not a happy man.
Let me. I'm gonna retweet that right now because Fox Sports Kansas City tweeted that out as Greg Nettles hitting to a game-ending double play off Dan Quisenberry. And then they show Steinberger. All right, he gets up from his seat right there and walking through a bunch of just a stadium full of Royals fans jumping up and down.
There was a play at the plate somewhere in that game too, right? Where they sent someone and he got thrown out of home and he was just not happy.
At SSJWHB, if you want to see that. But the last inning, Mike Boddicker, Quiz comes in, holding a 3-2 lead. And, so Dennis Leonard starts off the inning in the ninth and gives up a single to Reggie Jackson. And then Quiz comes in and faces Oscar Gamble and gets him to fly out. And then Rick Cerrone singles, and you're thinking, oh, boy, one out, two runners on. The Royals are holding on to a one-run lead. And
how did Rick Cerrone get a hit? I play with Cerrone.
It happened every once in a while.
All I know is Curtis Siebel tweeted out "FU Rick Cerrone" last night. So Curtis very aggressive again on Twitter.
You guys would love Rick Cerrone.
Well, I didn't love him that night.
Oh my! The PR guy for the Yankees afterwards or something
for a while. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's funny man.
I remember when we were doing the walkout right back in '99. Uh-huh. I remember us calling up the PR department. It was Rick Cerrone. I was like, you're the bad catcher for the Yankees or whatever.
bad catch. No, he was a good catcher. He just couldn't hit.
He didn't like us that weekend.
And so Quiz gets the double play. Greg Nettles grounds into a double play to end the game, and then Steinbrenner stomps out of Royal Stadium very angry. But looking back, Dennis Leonard, 8 innings, 7 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. Quisenberry got the save. Rudy May
goes
all 8 innings for the New York Yankees.
All she had to do was bunt on Rudy. He could not field a bunt. Seriously, his glasses, his hat would come off, his shoe would come off, and you could get on every time. We used to bunt on him all the time because he couldn't field a bunt.
Willie Wilson had 2 ribbies, and UL Washington with the other ribby to help and Greg Nettles had hit a home run earlier in the game off of Dennis Leonard. But listen to these lineups. Any comments you have about any of these players, please, Mike Boddicker, inject your comments. We'll start with the Yankees lineup. Leading off, playing second base, Willie Randolph.
I know Willie very well. Good ball player.
He was thrown out at home to end the eighth inning.
I was going to say, I think Willie was the guy who got thrown out the plate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any stories, anything you got, just stop me. Oh. DH hitting second was Bobby Mercer. Hitting third at first base, Bob Watson. Cleanup right field, some guy named Reggie Jackson.
Never heard of him.
And then left fielder, Oscar Gamble. Rick Cerrone at catcher. Who is hitting sixth? Greg Nettles at third. Bucky Dent playing short. And then here's a story. Bobby Brown playing center field. And so I had, let me see if I can explain this. I don't think I've ever told this story on the air. I had on my dad's side his aunt, which would have been my great aunt Marguerite. And she lived in Northeast. And me and my mom, before my mom didn't start driving until she was like 35 years old. So we took the bus everywhere when I was a little kid. And so we used to take the bus over to my Aunt Marguerite's house, and she worked, I can't remember where she worked, but she worked with a young lady that was dating Bobby Brown, the center fielder for the Yankees. And so somehow, I wish it had been that Bobby Brown.
Maybe so, not. I don't know.
No, you. Yeah, no.
So somehow that wouldn't have helped. That would have been a hell of a meeting. But so they worked it out to where the Yankees were going to be in town. I was going to go have lunch with him because I was just a big baseball fan. I would have been 7 or 8 years old or so, maybe 9. Maybe it might have been after 1980. And so we go and down at Crown Center. And my dad takes me, and I'm nervous, and I'm wearing a little.
Were you nervous your dad was taking you, or are you just nervous?
But what's my dad going to do?
I have my Royals batting helmet on. Remember the batting helmets you used to get?
Yeah.
Nice. Love those.
Walking around in public with that on? That's not weird at all. How'd they find one to fit you?
I was going
to
say, did they make 9 3/4 back then?
He just took the sizing thing out? Yeah, because they had a sizing.
No,
Not
the real one, the replica. It didn't have the ear. It didn't have the ear flaps.
Right. Remember? But it used to have a retractable.
You pop that out.
Yeah. Steven just popped that out, and it barely fit on top of his head.
I used to collect those. Remember they used to sell those at the stadium?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? And my two favorite, I used to, obviously, the Royals, but the one that I always wanted to buy because I liked was the Expos.
Oh, yeah.
And so I had a Royals one, and sometimes I'd wear my Expos one and walk around. So anyway, we go and have lunch down there with him, and my dad takes me, and he was like, super nice. He was awesome. Like, one of the best memories ever as being a little kid. And so we're eating, and he's talking to the guy next. He goes, what'd you order, RJ? And I like look over and sitting like basically at our table is effing Reggie Jackson.
Boom.
And it's just, I mean, like, what do you, I mean.
Did you catch Reggie on a good day or a bad day?
It was a good day, man.
Oh, good.
He's a little kid.
It was a good day. And so we made a bet.
How have I never heard this damn story? How is this the first time you've ever told you had lunch with Reggie Jackson?
Because I saw Bobby Brown play center field. Oh. And so that's okay. My dad when he comes on. Steve St. John Sr. was you know, lived all this with me. And so, and that's all happened because of my Aunt Marguerite and her friend that dated Bobby Brown. And so we made a bet of who was going to win. They were in town to play a 3-game weekend series against the Royals. Maybe this would have been 81. And so we made a bet, and I can't remember what my side of it was, but it was 1980. It was 1980. He gave me, so after the game somehow, I went to where they were getting on the bus, and he brought me on the bus and gave me a team ball autographed by the 1980 Yankees.
Do you still have that?
I do.
They used to bring the buses right out in front of the big doors. I mean, that's where
exactly
you walked
right
out.
Right.
People would stand there
right
and get autographs.
There. That's exactly right.
The good old days.
And would you sign autographs,
like,
Boddicker?
Yeah.
He's a nice Mike Boddicker back then. Sign autographs.
I mean, you're
not
exactly
nice
right
to you.
But they pulled that bus right up, right there.
Yeah, right in front of the doors. And the guys, some guys would run out and get on the bus. The other guys would stand there and sign autographs and talk to people and stuff. And
yeah, I remember I was a kid, I was a kid, 17 probably. And
That's a kid.
And the A's, the A's were big stuff in like 87, right?
Oh,
that
was
the beginning of Jose Canseco and Mark McGuire and all that stuff. And we went, I was a food vendor at the time, but we would, when I wasn't food vending, we'd just go to the game. Because why not?
Yeah.
And Mark McGuire, I have a Mark McGuire autograph rookie card that he signed
right there
at the bus. And sometimes you could just pass it in and they would just sign it and send it back down.
Yeah.
And it was very cool. And now it's just not that
people
way.
People were great about it. I mean, all the fans and stuff.
And then it started to be all these guys would show up with a stack of cards.
And then that's when
players were like, I'm not doing this for you.
No.
It was okay if it was a kid.
Well,
that's when the guys started sending kids
up. Yeah,
I'll give you $5 to go in and get this autograph from him.
Well, that's when car shows were a big deal and they'd have, you'd have autographs everywhere and, guys were going out there and using kids to get autographs.
Yeah. I'm sitting there going, you know what? Kid just made $5. I'm signing it. Good for him.
Good for you.
Either way, it benefits the kid.
Yeah. That's all I care about.
And so the Royals and Yankees had split the first few games, and they won. And I went to the Sunday game, and he left tickets for us, for me and my dad, and the Royals won. And so I won the bet, and I got, oddly enough, a Yankees baseball. But I remember Larry Gura won the game that won the rubber match.
Big lefty.
So I was always a huge Larry Gura fan. He was very successful against the Yankees. But like I was, so I would have been 7 years old. I didn't turn eight until
having lunch with Reggie Jackson.
That makes me feel
old.
But
I remember, I remember watching that. Like this is the team that made my grandparents and my mom cry in 76, 77, 78.
Oh, absolutely.
We hated the Yankees, and I was like, should I go? I remember being like, you know, you're seven, you don't know, like. You better go. You better just go ahead.
And
go
where did your aunt's friend live that she was dating Bobby Brown? Was she in Kansas City? Was his Kansas City friend or friend in every town?
I don't remember.
Is it port in any storm? What's going on here?
Who knows? I know Bobby Brown was a very nice guy.
Sure he was.
Talking to you. I don't know enough about that. But
every time I watch one of these games on TV, my daughter sits there and I'll turn one of these things on. And she goes, "How did you guys watch these games? Because they're not HD." And
oh, yeah.
She's just like, how did you watch television back then? I said, well, this is the best we had.
Yeah. And it's baseball was really good back then.
Yes.
Standard definition.
Oh, yeah. So quick, too. I mean, you sit there and watch these games. The pitcher would just get the ball and just get on the mound. And just
two hours and 20 minutes.
Just
you know,
throw
2 hours
it,
and 15
and
minutes.
Not all this stuff.
It's like,
when you watch them now, the hard part is like, what the hell inning is it? They don't. It's not always. There's no box in the corner. No. What's the count here? What's going on?
There's no fox box.
There's no fox box in there. But they are fun to watch. And that series was, I mean, for us growing up in Kansas City, I'm a little bit older than Steven, so I remember like Chris Chambliss hitting the home run, and in '77, poor Freddie Patek in the dugout after the game. And my parents were at some of these games. Like I was a kid, they didn't take me right. Because I was a kid.
Oh, I wouldn't have taken you anyway.
And like in my parents, my old bathroom that I shared with my brother, and my parents still live in the same house, there's a collage of ticket stubs and things that my dad saved over the years that we put in there. And there's a 1977 Game 5 ticket stub from the 77 ALCS when the Royals lost and they were going to get to go to the first World Series, 100-win team, all this stuff. $9 face value on the ticket. To go like watch the 77 Game 5.
Price.
It's crazy. And so
you can't buy a beer for that now.
No, you can't.
So, Mike, you'll love this one.
So I didn't get to go to those 1980 games either.
You know who else I met? I just remembered and I got an autograph. And I found
Jake,
the pictures with Bobby Brown. Luis Tiant.
Oh, El Tiante.
Luis Tiant.
Yes. Funny man.
He was there too.
Funny man.
Because and you know we all imitated his windup.
Oh yeah, the spin windup. I actually did that during the big league game,
as an homage to him.
No, Roger Clemens and I, we liked to have fun.
Yeah,
and basically he'd dare me to because I'd do all these.
Yeah,
I grew up watching them and imitating some of these guys, and
I'd
end up getting
that.
To play with them, against them, and so. I did him. I did Jim Cott, Tommy John.
Did you throw a strike when you did the Tion?
Oh hell yeah!
Yeah,
it's all about.
Did you
got to hit
your
balance point.
You
can
Tommy
do it.
John?
You can stand on your head as long as you get back to where you're supposed to
where
and
you
hit your
be.
Balance point. You can do anything you want.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was easy.
Todd, so did you cover Mike Boddicker when he played?
Yeah, I was a
crusty
old man. What did Petro call me?
Let's have it that right now. How would you describe
the only time I would?
I think
have been
you called me an a-hole, didn't you?
I would.
Was that right?
No.
I think he did. Yeah, I think.
Well,
he did.
We were talking,
and you know what? Still am.
Well, I was an intern, I believe, in the probably your last year here was 91. So I was an intern.
No, 93 was my last.
Last
I got
year.
Traded. Yeah,
got
I got traded
here.
In 93.
So, in 93, that's
Brewers.
When I was a volunteer fireman, basically, and I would get to go out there once in a while. So I didn't have any run-ins or anything with Boddicker, but there were guys you just said, don't go bother that guy. I mean, you were told that. I was, like, at the time, 22, 23 years old. So,
was he one of them?
Yes, he was one of them. And then the story we were talking about on the air was Tim Belcher was grade A. Not,
oh, man.
Don't talk to Tim Belcher.
Belch was a funny guy. He was great.
And then later, when we were in Chicago one time on a trip with clients, we ran into Tim Belcher, and Monty knows him.
Yeah.
And we sat and had beers with the nicest guy in the world.
It's a different
yes.
It's
well,
a different
it's your
animal.
Job, and then
yes.
You're,
yes, exactly.
And that's what we were talking about Boddicker. You didn't want to talk to him maybe, on a Tuesday, 2 days before he started, but he would come, you know, help you sand your deck or something like that. I mean, he's like that kind of guy, but he didn't want to talk to some, you know, snot-nosed kid coming up with a camera. How come you guys haven't won the last three series?
He did
or
have snot run out of his nose, by the way.
You know,
did he receive the correct advice of to not to go bother you back then?
There'd be no memory. Bodica doesn't have memories of me, particularly.
Mike, were you someone hair. Not to be bothered?
I did have hair. A little bit, not much more.
How would you have treated Todd Lebo if that youngster, that young Cub reporter, would have come up there and talked to you?
It depends on the situation.
Well, give me a situation where you just would have tore into him.
Tore into him?
Like,
you need to come up and ask a really... No, I didn't mind talking game day. It didn't bother me.
Why?
If you come up and ask a really stupid question, or if the week before... You did an interview and took about half of it and made somebody sound like a jerk.
Yeah,
that's what bothered me.
Right.
That's the only thing that bothered
me. Honestly, lessons like that, this is why I love our medium here much more than I like TV. Because when you did TV, if you sit there and let's say four or five people are talking to a pitcher and then they talk for 4 minutes, on TV you can only play like 18 seconds because that's just all you can play. That's all the time you have for it. That's why I've always liked the fact that we play longer bits of stuff here. So we can't get accused of taking stuff out of context as much, because if we play the whole 3 or 4 minutes, then you just got to hear the whole thing. We played the whole 55 minutes of Andy Reid, Brett Veach, and Patrick Mahomes yesterday. So, hey, you got to hear it just like we did, because I can, at any point, we do this all the time here. We take things out of context. How many times we took Danny Klingscale out of context? 1,000, okay? So that's what
that was one of my favorite segments. I love that. So that was on a Friday, right?
It's simple to do those things. We can absolutely do those things, but I love the fact, and it's been one of my mission statements about what we do here, is to always play more as opposed to less, because we have the time to do it.
Yes. I've seen the man come out of the shower.
I love that.
I mean, those things happen. So
it does. I mean, and you can literally go in and chop something up to make you sound like an idiot.
They wanted more booty.
Yeah, that sounds great. But you can do that.
The only thing that bothered me.
Yeah.
I don't mind. I never minded talking. Even the day I was pitching, I didn't care about talking to people. I mean, I knew what I had to do and where my focus was. I really didn't have to worry about anything until I put my hat on and started walking out. I was good no matter what.
If you ask after the game, you know, why'd you throw that pitch? That's always the tough one. I don't like after the game, you know, obviously someone feels bad.
Well, it depends on how they did. I mean, everything's relevant. I remember, and this is a great story, is Mike Burkholder was a clubhouse guy at the time, and my oldest son, Corey, went in to help work for a while. And so his mom got him all decked out, and nice pair of jeans and stuff, and sent him in, and Belch was pitching that night. First night in, and it was cold, hot chocolate, big hot chocolate thing there, and Belch gave up a couple runs early, and you could just, Burkholder told me, he said, they were scurrying. The clubhouse kids were scurrying. They knew. They heard Belcher coming up, and they tried to grab Corey and finally got him in around where the shower was there, and Belch just destroyed the hot chocolate thing. Hot chocolate went everywhere. It ricocheted off the wall and came into the shower. His jeans were covered with hot chocolate. And Corey was a kid, and his eyes got big as silver dollars going, and he didn't understand that. And I explained to him, I said, what you see in there, here in there, stays in there. Nothing comes out.
Right.
That's part of the deal. You don't talk to anybody about any of that stuff. And he come home and I said, Dad, he says, can I tell you something? I said, sure. He says, I know I'm not supposed to say anything, but I got hot chocolate on my jeans, you know. It was like... I said, what happened? He says, well, he said, Tim Belcher, never mind. I know.
All right,
I understand. I got it. Belcher was very fiery.
Oh, yeah.
Very fiery and very passionate. And he did not like giving up a run.
Oh, yeah.
I always.
Did not like it. No.
Why are you attacking drinks and food? People.
I never could figure that out either.
And tip over the buffet table. Like, what the hell?
I never. What's there?
I never could figure that out. Yep. I you know, it's like a coming in and just wailing on something with your bat.
Belcher's the one who got into a little something. It was after he was playing for the Mariners at the time. I think after maybe a playoff loss against the Yankees when the Mariners were finally there, like maybe shoved a cameraman. I mean, he's a fiery guy.
Fiery guy.
Listen,
very
that's how
fiery
it was.
Guy.
I remember one time.
And he would come up and apologize later.
I think he got kicked out of a game in the first inning for throwing at someone. And like one of those, he'd left a note on the locker. He's like, I'm out of here. We're not doing this. It's probably smart for him.
So yeah. He'd have gotten
he
trouble.
He knew some of that his was, limits to do those things. But listen, I get that. I get mad around here sometimes. I've kicked a trash can. You know, Kevin used to always tell that story. I kicked a trash can and put a dent in the wall over here because I was mad at him. Whatever. I mean, those things happen.
It happens.
You get fiery about some things sometimes. But I learned as a young reporter early, I've told that story before. Maybe someday I'll bring the audio when Lou Piniella asked me if I wanted to
bring it, go home and get
manage
it right now.
The game or report on
Sweet
it.
Lou.
But, I mean, so I was like 23 years old at the time, and you know Lou Piniella gave it. He says, "Oh, what do you want to do here? You want to effing manage the game?" Except he didn't say effing.
Yeah.
Or report on it. And at the time, I was like, "I just want to report on the game, sir." You know. And so I learned. Listen, you got to be careful with what you ask. And I got
exactly.
a little bit of training as well when I was in college. Billy Tubbs was the head coach at Oklahoma, and he didn't suffer any fools either. You ask a dumb question after the game, you got it. So I would sit there and I would think, I want to ask a question because I don't want to just be a kid here. I want to ask a question. It's like, how would I get ripped if I ask it this way? So you kind of
think about it.
You get from guys who will not take dumb questions. And I think that's important to learn that as a young reporter. And I think in the end, you learn those things. And I think I go out and I ask pretty good questions.
Yeah,
you
know, ask good questions. No problem.
But it is hard after a game when someone gave up a 400-foot homer to ask, you know,
how'd you hold that pitch?
Well, you know, it's like, you know, what was the pitch?
Yeah.
Where, you know, and then, you know, you generally get a thing.
Back in those days, from your vantage point, you might have not actually seen what pitch it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood that. You know, what was the pitch? I hung a curveball. My fault. That was a bad mistake. That's okay. That's the way it is, you know. But there was a lot.
What were you trying to do there? Well, I was trying to get this MF or out.
Yeah, I was trying to get him out. That's exactly. So what were you trying to do with that pitch?
Yeah.
Not put it 450 feet in the stands.
I was trying to get it back in my hand at some point.
Yeah. Not doing it again. But
and part of that comes with the rapport. When you've been around people long enough, you know, if someone you've never seen in your life ask you a question, that's one thing.
You always had your core group of reporters.
So like, what if this question was asked to you?
See, the home run's about the only mistake that you made. What pitch was it? What happened there?
It was a fastball. Yeah, anybody else have other questions?
Sorry. Nate hates that.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's hard to ask those questions.
He should hit.
It's hard to ask those questions after the game, man. I mean, it's not easy. Because it's not easy to stand there and answer the questions after the game either. Because
you just got a loss and your team lost. But it's
part of the job as well.
It's part of the job. You have to talk to reporters. And the only time I didn't like talking to reporters is when I got a group, you know, anybody that came in and, like I said, did a half story, made me look like a fool, or made me look like I was blaming my teammates for something. That really bugged me.
Yeah.
That bugged me. And I didn't like that. I didn't like them doing that to my teammates either.
Right. Yeah, and you know, honestly,
now, you guys dealt with Eddie Murray. You know what Eddie was like.
Oh yeah,
right. And well, he got multiples in Boston where they did that to him, and he said, "I'm done. I can't. I hate reporters. I can't talk to him anymore." And that's what you guys got.
And I think
Todd Lebo was busy dealing with Adam Jones to worry about anyone else.
Oh my
else.
Gosh,
is that right?
Hey, listen, I was
Todd?
Just trying to. Adam
no.
Jones is fine.
No, hey, no, he's not. No, he's not.
Todd, what happened with you and Adam Jones?
That had something to do with the ball getting stuck in the fence.
It's a ground rule double, and it got stuck under the fence. He put his hands up like he couldn't find it.
Yeah. Then
there's Stetner right there in his...
Right there on the ground.
What was your question?
It was something like, did you know the ground rule, I think? Or it's something like that.
That's a dumb question. Of course he knows the ground rules.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes you think someone knows something, and they don't. But I can't remember exactly how it went down. But
that's all gone over.
He didn't want me to. He didn't want to admit that he was trying to
get a ground rule double because
it
was going to be a triple.
It was going to be score a run or something like that.
I think he'd already rounded second and was on third, and he just put his hands up like, "I can't find it." It's right there.
And there's no Ivy here. It's the freaking K.
Right.
Whatever.
And balls dead. I mean, they used to have.
But
those,
you also
they used to have those pads, and the ball gets stuck in the pads.
Them,
it's,
yeah,
and you, it's right there. You just have to grab it.
And what we do
but
is
they,
not
they, they're,
what we
they're
do.
Told,
put
where your hands
the bottom.
Up.
What we do is not super important because this is the candy store of life and all that
what?
Stuff. And going out and asking questions about baseball games is not super important. But you also have to, like, as if you're a pitcher, you have to not be scared to throw the slider on a 3-2 count with the bases loaded.
You
also
yeah,
can't, as a reporter, be scared to go ask
no.
Adam Jones a question about something that happened in the game. You have to be able
you
to
have,
do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just what it is. And it's no fun sometimes.
You know,
sometimes questions got to be
for
asked.
You.
Yeah, certain guys would laugh at that, saying, you know, he was gonna get a triple or score anyway. I mean, I had to try something.
And they're not going to go back and change
no,
it. There's
they're not
no
going to change anything.
Just
no.
be honest.
Steven, you
got
to be able to ask the hard questions.
Your first question comes from the lineup,
Legal
Sports Radio 810.
I'm deleting
Sorry, wrong. All right, my question.
Is it time for a break?
No.
Nope. We don't take breaks on this show.
I'm going to bring you that Lupinella stuff someday.
I'd like to have it.
Don Proctor has that. I have it. We played it on the television when I got married. So it's been
out there.
Oh, it's out there.
It's out there.
It's out there.
There's things that
hey,
should not be out there.
You're guest hosting tomorrow. I expect that tomorrow.
I don't know if I have the ability to get off the VHS and get it in there. Oh, we have VHS
back
in here.
You know, let's take a break. We'll figure it out. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks a lot for joining us. Stephen St. John, Todd Lebo in for Nate Buchady, Mike Boddicker is with us, and Jake Gutierrez is on this Wednesday, July 8th, 2020. Mike Boddicker, are you... Well, what's been your reaction to the first few days of summer camp, as they call it, with the Royals and Major League Baseball? I'm sure you've been watching. What have you thought of the first few days?
The only thing I really am very disappointed about is how they're going about the testing. It's taken too long to get their tests back. I mean, I know my son-in-law is a coach for the Cardinals, and they had another day off because tests aren't back. They don't know.
Yeah, it seems a flawed system.
It's
to take
a bad
system.
They did not have
all of these tests and send them to another
Salt
state.
Lake City.
Yeah.
Exactly. They got one testing site. Come on, seriously? You got to do better than that.
I understand
that, was bad.
That they
was bad.
Probably wanted them all the exact same kind of test, read by the exact same kind of thing. They wanted them to be standard, I guess. That's the reason for it.
Yeah, but you can
every
have...
every one of these cities has places that are reading
exactly.
tests.
Exactly. Exactly.
No.
That's my thing. Get it done. Get it over. You know, that's why they have 60 guys, because there's going to be guys who are going to test positive.
Yeah, they got a couple Royals tests yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, Ryan O'Hearn and Brad Keller. Salvador Perez already has tested positive.
Yeah, and O'Hearn goes, I felt nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, he had...
And Salvin either.
Yeah. I'm sitting there going, yeah, that happens. And everybody's saying, well, there's a lot more cases. It's just a lot more testing.
Yeah, they're going to find more.
And they're doing a better job in treating this. You know, you're not seeing the chaos and deaths that we did earlier, because I think they're figuring out a better way to treat this.
I think more of the people who are getting the positive tests are not as many people who are at risk, because I think a lot of the people who are at risk are doing the right things and staying
away
from
us old
people.
Yeah. I've been social distancing for
it's
majority of my life.
It's your life.
Yeah.
It's what you like.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the weird part is, here's the question I have, Bob. Right, so let's say we get to the 24th and these games are supposed to happen. I mean, injuries are part of baseball.
Yeah,
okay?
They are.
So,
yeah.
Like,
and they had, this is going to be short.
It's a short season.
Short to get ready,
so
too.
So is it really a season if the Royals have four guys who can't play because they have COVID? Do you feel that's any different than if they had four guys, one with a shoulder, one with a knee, one with a, plantar fasciitis or something like that? Is it going to feel different?
Yeah, but the thing, it is, because the thing with that kind of stuff, if he comes in and says, my arm's a little, and they might shut him down for a few days. Hey, let the inflammation go out and we'll see where you're at after that. This is 2 weeks. You're gone for 2 weeks. Can't play. Nothing. So it is different. And my thing was, okay, we're going to get, say we get into September, October, and all of a sudden playoffs, maybe World Series, and all of a sudden four of your main guys get tested, five of your main guys has COVID.
Yeah, you.
I mean, that screws up the whole.
How many times did you pitch with a sore elbow? You just did it because you got
mean
it
you
through.
Weren't supposed to?
Yeah, and now they're like, this is kind of a little bit like concussion protocol in football.
Yeah.
You can't do this, and the protocol here is, I don't care if you're asymptomatic, you can't go out there and pitch.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a little different. But I still want baseball.
No, oh, I do too. Yeah.
So you're still in that boat?
Yeah. I mean, you got 60 guys, okay? So at some point, there's got to be 20, 25 guys who don't show nothing. That's who's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when these guys get back, then they're going to play. But, you know, 2 weeks off, your timing as a hitter, pitching. I mean, if they're asymptomatic, they can still throw. They can throw bullpens and stuff like that if they, you know.
You got to do it somewhere else.
You can do it somewhere else, but you can do it.
They've been throwing somewhere else all summer.
Right.
These guys have been setting up stuff at their house, making little mounds. You know, anyone in the neighborhood who can catch 85, 90.
It's not like... Okay, you cannot throw a baseball. You know, it's like Salvi, you know her. Hey, I don't feel nothing. Nothing. Yeah. You know, they're gonna continue to work out, hit, throw. It might be at a private washed down area, whatever. But they're gonna sneak and do something. My thing is, you get to the World Series and you're getting Game 5, and your stud pitcher's gonna pitch, and you got a chance to. Test says, oh, he's got COVID. He can't go. It's like, as a manager, how do you do that?
Yeah.
Do you try to sneak and cheat? I mean, there's a lot of teams cheating right now.
Nobody would ever do that in sports, Bob.
No, never. Never.
What I do like, Steven, is I like, for what I've seen so far, and this is all Zoom stuff, I love the attitude that the Royals have gone about this with. I think they're taking this as an opportunity. Because there's only 60 games, and
yeah.
They know they're maybe not the most talented team because they've lost 100 games the last couple of years. And listen, Mike Matheny's got a wonderful attitude about trying to go about doing this thing. And everything
See,
I've seen
right.
from
I've
the players...
That's right. I've been impressed with
him. Him and his leadership. And I think all the players we've had on these Zooms, their attitude as well. I mean, they want to go play. Players want to play.
They want to play.
They want
I'm
to
sorry.
Do this in whatever way they can get it done. And I don't. That's probably not the case everywhere.
For the guys who don't feel comfortable doing it, that's fine. I'm all right with that. If you don't feel comfortable, if you got, you know, your wife's going to have a baby or whatever, maybe they might have some health issues, whatever, that's fine. I don't play. I'm good with that. There's kids who, like I said earlier, a month or so ago, there's kids in the minor leagues that are dying to put that big league uniform on.
And
I'm all right watching those kids.
Yeah.
And you've got two players, like we talked about, the three players that are tested positive, you mentioned Lebo, Ryan O'Hearn, Brad Keller, and Salvador Perez. Salvi, he's gone 2 weeks. However long he's gone, he's got a spot. He's one of the stars of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Keller, he's gone. He comes back. He's a part. Guy like Ryan O'Hearn, this is a make or break season for him.
And
this
he's
a make. It could be a make or break couple of weeks. Just to try to
and he feels nothing.
Secure a spot in the majors.
That's what's got to kill him. I mean, it's like I don't feel anything. I feel fine. There's nothing.
Well, the good news for him personally is it's only the 7th of July when this happened. So hopefully, in his case, he will be able to get two negative tests before the season starts.
Right.
I mean, that's
right.
The hope. You'd rather get tested positive now than get tested positive on the 23rd of July.
Yeah, or September. October when the stuff gets real.
Yeah, this is the whole thing's dicey, man. We're seeing this all around the country. I mean, MLS is back. Tournament's supposed to start tonight. And, you know, Nashville has had to postpone. They're not out of the tournament like Dallas is. But, you know, we're going to go right up to this. There could be spots when baseball gets going to where there's too many guys. And they haven't really told us exactly what that is, too many guys. I mean, if you're out of town and can you get 8 people to show up to be on your team to play. I don't know what that's going to be. There could be some postponements because of this. I don't know what's going to happen with sports. And I know we all want it because we want something to do besides watching the 1980 World, you know, ALCS.
Yes.
Over and over. And baseball players want to make some money. I mean, it's not the amount of money that it was going to be, but
Still pretty darn good money.
Most of these guys, and especially when you're talking about Royals, most of these guys, this is a really big deal to them.
It is.
You know, to make even a third of what you were supposed to make.
Somebody like Mike Trout or you know, Zimmerman Price, they don't, it's not the money issue at this stage of the game. Where some of these kids, it really is. They're you know, been there, done that, understand what they're going through. So it's a tough situation. But everybody wants to play. I mean, these kids, you go talk to O'Hearn, he'd go out there right now. I mean, it's like, let me go. Let me keep playing. It's just the way it is. That's in their nature.
Mike Boddicker has been our guest. Mike, of all the players that maybe young players, guys that are going to get a chance to get some playing time with the Royals this year, who's maybe a young player or a guy that still has a lot left to prove that you're most excited to watch?
I'm really excited to see these young pitchers. That
which one are you most excited to see?
Coar. I really want to see Coar pitch. I really like the kid, how his delivery, his stuff, everything.
See him this year?
I hope so. I really do.
I think they'd rather not throw some of these guys, but I think the conditions will dictate that they probably will.
But I mean, these college kids, why not get a look at them?
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, these are the guys you're mortgaging your future on, and it's almost a freebie.
Yeah, because like,
let's see how they handle. It's not only your stuff.
They got to get some innings sometime because there's no minor league baseball this year.
And a lot of times, this will tell you what the kid's got inside of him when he gets on that hill. Is he nervous? Can he handle pressure? What's he going to do if he gets banged around a little bit? Is he going to respond to that, or is he just going to crumple and fold?
That I like about the fact that this summer camp is happening and they're able to have 60 people here is the fact that all of these guys get to come to Kansas City and be in the Major League Stadium and do something here.
Right.
Not a surprise. It was, you know,
it's not the same.
It's not the same. And there's two sides to surprise. There's the minor league place where it's just, I mean, it's like nobody cares what's going on in there except them. There's just family members. Hopes and dreams in there.
Yeah.
And we did, you know, where we would set up the thing when Seren was out there, we were out there this year, is over by the minor league clubhouse. And we would walk down this hallway and I would look at these bags of equipment lined up. And I'm like, man, look at that. That's this kid's whole life is a hope and dream. Someday he will at least get to be 200 feet over on the other side of the clubhouse.
Right.
They had all of these guys, Coar, Bubich, Singer, they were all in the Major League clubhouse, and they wanted them to be around the Major League clubhouse, even though they knew they probably weren't going to make the team.
You can learn a lot just from being there. Yeah,
so,
exactly.
And I remember we were walking Nicky Lopez down the hallway to come on to do an interview, and I'd made some sort of comment like, that's the old place. He goes, I never want to go back in that place.
No.
Because you get that taste on the other side, and now these guys, this isn't even just a taste of the fancy clubhouse in Surprise. This is Major League Baseball, triple-decker stadium. This is what I want to do. So I think it's a wonderful thing that all of these young players get to be here and at least experience a few weeks of this side of it.
And that's what Steven was talking about with O'Hearn. You know, he's on that bubble right now. Do you think he wants to go back down there?
Mm-mm.
No. I never want to see that place again. That's exactly how it is. And sometimes you have to. It's that, you know, back and forth. I've done that. You never want to go back, though. It's completely different. Once you get a taste of the big leagues, you never want to go back.
Yeah.
Mike Boddicker has been our guest. Mike, thank you so much. I know you're reluctant to come in here without Nate Bucati, but...
Oh, this I love working with Lebo.
But you also
I know there's
love
not many
working with Nate.
There's not many people that say that, but I do love working with Lebo.
There's not many people that say that.
Come on now. Don't be like that.
I posted a picture of your rookie card, your Topps Future Stars card, in honor of your appearance.
Mark Corey and Floyd Rayford.
That's right.
Floyd Kennard exactly Rayford. Right. Sugar Bear.
A nice mustache on Floyd
Rayford. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that Future Stars. Mike, thank you so much for the time, my man. We appreciate
it. God, this hour flies by. It really does. I enjoy this.
Especially when Lezak's waiting angrily.
Too bad.
He's been very accusatory of you taking his time.
Too bad. He can hang with him. He gets plenty of air time at night.
That's right.
Hey, you're always welcome to hang out and talk to Gary with us.
I've got grandkids I got to watch this morning.
Yeah.
So
get out of here,
good,
go take care of them.
Good excuse. That's right.
I really do.
I wish I had grandkids to go take care of right now. Yeah.
I got that's 10 right. of them. Yeah. I'm always. Would you like to?
I mean, if I can get out of Gary's segment, yeah.
On that note, we'll be back into this on WHB.